Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy name. Father, once more we come to thy throne of grace in the name and merit of thy Son, our Savior and Redeemer, Christ Jesus. We come to thee, Father, with thanksgiving and with joy in our hearts. Thanksgiving that thou hast opened our eyes and brought us into a privilege and opportunity of following in our dear Master's footsteps. In thanksgiving, Father, for the privilege of gathering in convention, where we might learn more of thy plan and purposes. And we rejoice, Father, in the knowledge that in your due season all the families of the earth are to be blessed. We pray for the coming of that day. We pray also, Father, for thy blessing upon each of thy children in the world around, each one who has entered a covenant by sacrifice. Wilt thou suit a blessing this day according to the need that thou dost see and know in each of thy children's hearts and lives? We would ask now, Father, that thou would bless the heart and mind of our brother Frank Nemish as he breaks to us the bread of life. May our hearts and minds be illuminated by thy Spirit, that we might obtain more knowledge of thy plan and purposes, that we might be motivated to put into action the thoughts and lessons that thou hast for us. We pray for thy forgiveness for our own shortcomings and imperfections, and we ask it all as we give thee thanks in Jesus' dear and precious name. Amen.
The speaker for the next time period is Brother Frank Nemish of the Detroit, Michigan Ecclesia. He has entitled his remarks, "Keep Thy Heart." Brother Nemish.
Sister Pat and I and our family are very, very happy to be here and thankful to the Heavenly Father for His wonderful blessings that we have been receiving. And our family, as you know, has kind of grown rapidly, and most of them are here, and they are very thankful to be here. Also, our daughter Becky wanted her special love conveyed to the brethren here. She is expecting next month, so that's going to be another increase. Also like to bring you officially the love of your brethren in Detroit. The heart is mentioned in the Bible about 1,000 times. It is referred to in both the literal and the figurative sense. The vast majority of references to the heart in various forms is in the figurative sense, as we might expect. The heart is used to describe the very vital center of one's being. It is also used to as a symbol of our wills. Various activities are ascribed to the heart. A person's desires, their affections, their emotions, their passions, our purposes, even a person's thoughts. The condition of our hearts is very important, both physically and figuratively. Physically, of course, I think we understand that. If we want to enjoy a good, healthy life, we should do what is required to maintain our hearts in good working order. And figuratively, of course, especially with the followers of the Lord, since the heart represents the whole inner man, if we want to live close to the Lord, in harmony with the divine word, we need to live according to God's word. Most Christians, and even others who believe in the Bible, endeavor to take some heed to the admonitions of the Scriptures, and especially when it refers to their own welfare. For example, in Proverbs 4:20 and 22, "My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh." Some of Brother Russell's thoughts on this text of Scripture are: few recognize the influence of the mind over the body. God has so organized our beings that pure, noble, holy thoughts in general have not only an elevating and ennobling effect upon the mental and moral constitution, but an invigorating influence upon the physical system. And on the contrary, every unclean, ignoble, unchaste, unholy thought, as well as act, has a direct effect not only toward debasement of mind and morals, but toward the germination of seeds of disease already in the constitution of the fallen race. I believe that most of us would agree with those thoughts. Some of these thoughts came to my mind as I sat in a CPR class that I attended earlier this year. CPR stands for cardiopulmonary resuscitation. The instructor was a young policeman. It's very unusual to be instructed by a young policeman in a class like that. He wasn't a health care specialist, but he had quite a bit of training along that line. But he also had a lot of practical experience helping people on the streets, in their homes, or wherever necessary as he responded to the emergency situations. Out of the material that he discussed concerning the heart, he defined a very simple three-step process to help avoid heart problems. And those three steps were: recognize the things that are bad for your heart. Avoid the things that are bad for your heart. And do good. Do good things for your heart. We've all heard these before, but he was able to punctuate them a little more as he discussed actual experiences. When you talk about recognition of something, when you say recognize the things that are bad for the heart, the first step of trying to solve any problem, whatever it may be, is to recognize the problem. And when it comes to our hearts, much attention is being given to these things today. These include the fact that we should recognize that there are certain foods that are high in fat and cholesterol, and they're bad for our hearts. Recognize that being overweight is also a strain on our physical hearts. Recognize that a lack of exercise is bad for the heart. Recognize that high stress is bad for our hearts. Recognize that a lack of sufficient rest is bad for our hearts. And then the second step was to avoid those things. It is one thing to recognize what is bad, but we have to put these into action and say, avoid those things that are bad for the heart. And it sometimes seems very difficult to do as far as avoiding certain foods that are high in fat content or bad for our cholesterol, especially if we have a craving for certain foods, or if we want to reduce stress in our lives, but the demands placed upon us continues to cause great stress. Or if we want to exercise, but our busy schedule just does not permit it. And so we need some help here in the way of getting information, getting knowledge, getting understanding, and encouragement along this line. The medical profession, the food industry, the news media, and others are all providing the latest known information on these things. Why certain foods are bad? Why lack of physical activities is bad for the heart? What effect they have upon the body? If we have sufficient understanding of some of these things, it should give us the reasons to avoid certain things. But we also have to establish an action plan to help us set a goal and an encouragement to stay with the plan over the long term. Incidentally, regarding weight loss, I had heard recently of a doctor's report in his research that his study showed that all of those people who start weight loss efforts, that only about 1% succeeded in keeping that weight off over the long term. And secondly, he reported that of all the people who love rich foods, that is, cookies, chocolate, ice cream, like we've been having every evening, that some become addicted to these things. Addiction is a much-used word in today's society. And so this problem appears to be much more difficult to change in some people than it is in others. And so hopefully then, as he reports, an understanding of the value of good things and the harm of bad things would help us to develop a desire to avoid the bad things. And so a new attitude must be developed in our minds and reinforced on a daily basis. And then his third point was to do good things. Concentrate on doing good for the physical heart. We're going to get into the figurative heart, but he's still on the physical heart. Eat foods that is good for your heart. Exercise, or at least get sufficient and proper exercise to strengthen the heart muscles. And try to reduce all that excess weight. Get sufficient rest. Reduce that high stress in your life. In my life, too. Learn stress reduction techniques, if necessary. Change your lifestyle to lower the stress. Incidentally, that same doctor who reported on how some people become addicted to rich foods also reported that he did not know of anyone who became addicted to carrots and celery. And I've been watching who's been taking the carrots and celery at the mealtime. So you see, it takes some effort to continue to do good things, to even eat the right foods, to exercise, perhaps. Clogged arteries and hardening of the heart arteries is a very common cause of cardiac arrest and death. And so if we concentrate on eating and doing the good things, perhaps we may be able to avoid that condition of hardening of the arteries, or at least reduce that condition. I added a fourth step to what was suggested, standing. If we are successful in correcting habits that are bad for the heart and substitute good habits, we will note some improvement in our physical condition. And eventually, with some or much effort, we may gain a good, healthy physical standing as far as our heart is concerned. But while we've been going through these steps, did you notice that those words that we use, the letter that they begin with, recognize, avoid, good and standing. It spells rags. What does that make you think of? It's more than just an acronym because it spells an actual word. So we want to go through the same process for the figurative heart. We're not going to speak of literal rags, though we were all at one time as filthy rags and unworthy in God's sight as far as our own righteousness is concerned. Isaiah 64:6. The process in the figurative or spiritual heart leads to a standing that the Spirit begotten have with the Heavenly Father and with our Lord. If we can recognize the value of these steps that are good for our physical hearts, we certainly should be able to see a greater value in a process for our figurative hearts. The familiar phrase, rags to riches, is true, especially true for all of those who have the grace of God in their hearts. To help emphasize the importance of this magnificent organ in our bodies, let us list some of the known facts concerning our hearts. And some of these were mentioned in that CPR class. The heart, as we know, is just a hollow muscular organ whose function is to pump the blood. The blood is received through the veins into the heart, and the heart pumps the blood out through the arteries into all of the vascular veins, vascular arteries and capillaries that we have in the body. If the heart fails to pump the blood, whatever the cause may be, death occurs. For the life of the human body is in the blood, as we have recorded in Genesis 9:4. Some statistics that we know concerning the heart is that for the average person, the heart beats about 70 to 90 times a minute. For an infant, the heart beats 120 times a minute. If we assume for the average adult of 70 beats per minute, that calculates out to be almost, well, over, I will say, just keep it simple, over 100,000 times a day. Almost 37 million beats a year. In the average lifespan of a man of 72 years of age, the heart beats 2.6 billion times more for those that live longer. We have a brother in the Detroit class, Brother Post, who just recently celebrated his 102nd birthday. He has registered close to 4 billion beats, heartbeats. Amazing. One thing I was surprised to learn is that if we took all of the blood vessels in the body and connected them together, I could ask for guesses, but I won't. The body contains over 60,000 miles of blood vessels. The heart pumps about 4,000 gallons of blood every day through these blood vessels, all the time maintaining the blood pressure that we watch so closely. So you can see that the function of the heart is very important. And yet, we almost take it for granted in our daily lives. About the only time we notice it is if we are frightened, if we're running, or if there's anxiety, we notice how rapidly our heart beats. Of course, we especially notice it when it gives us a problem and when it fails to beat. Now let us look at that process of rags to riches for the figurative heart. We are instructed in Proverbs, the 4th chapter, 23rd verse, that more than anything else that is to be regarded, that is to be guarded, is to safeguard our hearts. That is the whole inner man. It reads, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." And again, some of Brother Russell's thoughts on this text. It is not sufficient that we acknowledge sin in its various forms to be evil, and that we resolve that we will strive against it because it is under the Lord's ban. In addition to this, we are to root out of our hearts every longing, every desire for everything not thoroughly approved by the Lord. Oh, what a cleansing this would mean in the hearts and lives, and especially in the thoughts of many who have named the name of Christ. Many who fail to note this point find themselves continually beset by temptations, because while outwardly avoiding gross immoralities, they secretly harbor sympathies for things condemned, desiring that they might have them if only they were not forbidden. The one thing that has caused the fall of mankind from God's favor is sin. And so as the words, the admonitions of the scriptures remind us that we are to recognize and acknowledge sin and evil in all of its forms, and avoid sin, not just outward sin or some obvious sins, but sin in all of its forms, and especially inward sins. We grow up in a world where there's a lot of worldly influence all around of us. Many of these influences are very deceptive. They're even sugar-coated to appeal to our hearts, to appeal to our minds, to appeal to the flesh. So it's not just good enough to recognize sin and resolve to avoid sin, but we must go even further. We must root out the desire for sins. The fallen flesh still has the tendency to rise up and sin. And so the Apostle Paul reminded us, and even in his own life, he says, "I keep my body under and bring it into subjection," as he wrote in 1 Corinthians 9:27. So we need to change from the natural fallen nature's desire to the desire to know and to do God's will. Romans 12:1-2. Our minds need to be renewed. "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Here again, the process of gaining knowledge and understanding of God's Word is necessary. Necessary to strengthen our faith, to strengthen our determination to root out any desire for sin. And as we gain knowledge and understanding of God's Word, we learn of God's magnificent plan for all of mankind. We learn what the hope of salvation is in God's Word, what it's all about. We learn how God's great love has been manifested in the giving of His only begotten Son. And we also learn how His great love will be manifested to the whole world of mankind in the kingdom. And now during the gospel age, we especially recognize and appreciate the drawing influences of the Heavenly Father, the call of the church to follow in the footsteps of our Lord. And as we learn to love righteousness, this should give us the reason and the desire to root out all forms of sin in our lives. And of course, if we do so, the stronger our faith will become. However, we need to establish an action plan or goal for ourselves and set priorities to help us carry out our commitment. Brother David Bruce, in his welcoming address at the convention, you remember, he encouraged us all to prioritize each day's activities. These priorities will lead to the next step in the process. Do good. As Galatians 6:10 tells us, as we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Concentrate on doing good and on goodness. Follow the examples set forth in God's Word by our Lord, by the apostles, and even by the faithful ones of old. Our desire should be to work out our own salvation by having God's Holy Spirit control our every thought, word, and deed. We wholeheartedly want to respond to God's invitation to give me thine heart, as he says. Some additional good things that we should concentrate on from the admonitions of the Scriptures, as the Apostle Paul writes in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 1 Timothy 4:7-8, exercise thyself rather unto godliness, for godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. 1 Timothy 6:11, follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Colossians 3:2, set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. Even the mature follower of the Lord needs to be on guard against sin. Colossians 3:9. Put off the old man with his deeds, and put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge. And Hebrews 10:24-25. And I like especially the NIV version of these texts. Said, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. And so we are encouraged to attend meetings, not only the lectures, but also the studies. Take an active part in the studies. serve God in whatever way you can, in the little things of life. And we usually do this by serving one another. The Lord accepts our efforts, not according to the flesh, but according to our wills, our intentions, our desires. Our commission is to preach the word to all who have a hearing ear, to endeavor to bring glory and honor to the Heavenly Father's name. Colossians 1:10. Walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. 2 Peter 3:18. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And 2 Corinthians 7:1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. And so our daily activities are very important to the conditions of our figurative heart, cleansing our hearts, our desires, our intentions can prevent and correct the affliction of hardening of the heart. And this can affect even the Lord's people. The Apostle Paul wrote in Hebrews 3:8, harden not your hearts as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, as the Israelites of old did against Moses and the Lord. As the Apostle Paul wrote, they erred in their hearts. The Apostle reminds us that we have this treasure, the gift of God's Holy Spirit, in an earthen vessel. And so you can see the struggles that we have with this earthen vessel. We need to strive after righteousness. And so as the psalmist wrote in Psalm 19:14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. The heart that loves righteousness will discern the weaknesses of its own flesh and strive to correct those weaknesses. The robe of righteousness, which is given to each one that comes under the merit of Christ's sacrifice, gives us a standing with the Lord. The Apostle John in 1 John, the first chapter, verses 3 and 4, speaks of that standing that we have. He writes, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And the fourth verse, and these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. And then to further emphasize our relationship with the Heavenly Father, the Apostle writes in the third chapter, verses 1 and 2, behold, what manner of love the Father had bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And even after writing these words, the Apostle John cautions all of the brethren that there is still a work to be done in our hearts. For he writes in the third verse of that third chapter that there is a purifying work to be done. He writes that every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. So the work of striving to rid ourselves of everything that is impure is an ongoing work until we finish our course. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. If we are faithful to the privileges that we have and the standing that we have, then that will lead to the actual riches of sharing with Christ, our head, the joys of His kingdom. The joy of reigning with Him in the work of uplifting the whole world of mankind to learn righteousness. Ephesians, the first chapter, verses 18 and 19, again from the NIV. The apostle writes, I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the riches of the glorious inheritance in the saints, and His incomparable great power for us who believe. And I like that NIV translation because of the phrase, the eyes of your heart, referring to the enlightenment that we have received from the Lord through His Holy Spirit into our hearts. And so in summary then, brethren, let us realize from where we once started. Indeed, it has been a process of rags leading to riches. Recognize sin. Avoid sin in all its forms. Do good. Follow goodness. And as we remain fully consecrated to do the Heavenly Father's will, through His Holy Spirit, this gives us a standing with Him now. And so let us be faithful so that we may enter in to the actual riches of His kingdom. And may the Lord help us to be faithful.
Thank you, Brother Nimish. Brother Nimish will dismiss us with prayer and also invoke the Lord's blessing on our temporal food.
Our kind and loving Heavenly Father, hallowed be Thy most holy and precious name. We indeed thank Thee for Thy love. Thank Thee for the sacrifice of Thy beloved Son. We thank Thee for the privilege of gathering here with those of like precious faith to sit at Thy feet and to learn more of Thee. We thank Thee for Thy goodness. We thank Thee for all things. We thank Thee, and Heavenly Father, for Thy Holy Spirit, to may it continue to have its sanctifying effect upon our hearts and our minds. And now as we assemble for the noonday meal, we ask Thy special blessing upon these temporal provisions, and we especially ask Thy blessing upon our fellowship together. And as we wait before Thee in all things, we pray for it, and we ask forgiveness where we have come short. In Jesus' precious name, amen.